This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. If you thought the student-to-teacher ratio was high, schools are facing an even tougher situation when it comes to school counselors. Later in the show, we'll look at the role of the guidance counselor in today's schools. And the popularity of genetic testing just got a big boost from Angelina Jolie. Ann Thompson will tell us more about it and focus on technology. Joining me in the studio first is Rick Green, who worked at the Cincinnati Enquirer for 16 years, starting in 1988, before moving on to management positions with Gannett in Palm Springs and Des Moines. And now he's back. Earlier this month, he took over as president and publisher of the Enquirer. Rick Green joins us to discuss returning to the city's only remaining daily newspaper and how the Enquirer is changing and evolving to compete in a 24/7 digital news environment. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rick, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Mark, it's good to see you again. It's great to be in the studio. It's really great to be back home in Cincinnati.
I was going to ask you, how does it feel to come back to Cincinnati?
You know, it's almost surreal. I'll be real honest with you. Over the past 11 years, we would still come through town just on the way to Mason to see some family in Mason, my sister-in-law. We'd go to Louisville, where my wife's family is from. Occasionally just zip around just to see some friends here, but never really got a chance to really be fully immersed beyond a Reds game or whatever it might be. I'm walking around now in places like Over the Rhine and Westchester, Deerfield Township, Mason, and I'm seeing an unbelievable vibrancy of a city that has come alive, that's been lifted from blueprints and old plans and Vision 2000 and all these crazy documents
things
I used to write
about when you were a reporter.
Absolutely. I think just as I was leaving town, both the Bengals Stadium and the Reds ballpark had opened up, and there was talk of trying to develop something in between in this place called the Banks. And now I'm living in temporary housing along the Banks, and I have this beautiful view of Great America Ballpark and the river, and I walk around the neighborhoods and talk to people, see old friends, a chance to see you again, and it feels surreal, but it feels really, really good.
Are you amazed by how much growth and development there's been in this area?
Unbelievably so. Unbelievably so. You know, when I was up in Westchester, Mason, Butler County, Warren County, we knew the growth was coming. This was back in the year 1999, 2000, 2001. And to see the demographics unfold, to see the development, the tsunami of change, that's really, I think, the one constant that is affecting every part of greater Cincinnati. You go from northern Kentucky all the way to the northern suburbs, there's an outlet mall in Monroe. I mean, Mark, good Lord, these are things that you would never expected when I was here 11 or 12 years or so ago. There is also, I think, a great amount of optimism. I had a great meeting with John Cranley, with the mayor, a couple of weeks ago. We went up to Price Hill and sat down and just kind of talked a little bit, got reconnected. And between the politicians and the business leaders I talked to and just everyday readers and residents, there's a sense that, yes, we're better than we were, but not as good as where we're going to be. And I've used that analogy often describing the Enquirer to them. You know, I feel that in many ways we're going to be much better in a year or two from now than where we are today, which is in some circles better than we were a couple, 3 years or so ago in some ways. So but we could talk about that.
Yeah. Now, what is the current state of the newspaper industry in the U.S.? I mean, I've heard it described as being in a hole. I've heard it described as being in a death spiral. Do you think these are accurate descriptions, or is this maybe a case of rumors of my demise or exaggerated?
Sure. I think that the first time I read the obituary of America's Daily Newspaper was probably about 20 or 25 years or so ago, just as things started to evolve a little bit digitally, and they've intensified, and with good reason. I understand that, you know, like a lot of industries, like a lot of companies, like a lot of the nonprofits, that changes has unfolded, and in some cases, so dramatically, so rapidly fast. I feel good about the transformation of a media company like the Enquirer, like Gannett. Often, I won't lie to you, it feels like we're racing down 75 at about 250 miles an hour, changing the tires as we go. But where we're going, I feel, was a good place. Change can be difficult. Change can be painful. Change can be invigorating. Change can be rewarding. Ultimately, more than anything, change is necessary.
Well, talk about why did Gannett decide to restructure staff and do away with the traditional way that newspapers were organized?
Yeah, you know, I think that there was a recognition based on all the conversations that I've had, and I was publisher out in Des Moines, was the editor there before that, my last stop, that even though the transformation was unfolding very quickly, particularly in terms of our knowledge, our expertise, and sophistication of social media, digital, there was a recognition that we just weren't moving quickly enough. And we had to hit the pause button. Let's take a close look at our structure. Let's look at our staffing. Let's look at our capabilities, and let's look at what it is that our readers demand. It's not what they expect, Mark. It's what they demand. Technology has changed at just rapid, lightning, fast speed. We have to be able to figure out how do we leverage our most valuable, our most prized possession. And I'm a news guy, but I'm also the president and CEO of Gannett, or I'm sorry, not yet, but at least of the Inquirer. Content is king. You know, content is our greatest product, and it's how we have to leverage that content, how we produce it, how we share it, how we are able to do many things with it, from a print audience, which is still a very significant part of our audience, to this fast-changing digital space. I feel good about where we're positioned, but there was hardship and some heartache along the way, which I think a lot of companies and industries have to endure sometimes.
What's the print audience like these days for the Inquirer, and how does it compare with the online audience?
I can't get into numbers and share all that. I will tell you that the print segment of our business is critical. I will tell you that it still pays a lot of our bills. That Sunday in particular has a powerful reach, by far more so than obviously any day of the week, because of the volume of inserts and the advertising strategies and the messaging and all the coupons that are there. Sunday is a critical day. Digital, Mark, it has just moved so fast. I'll give you an example. So when I was here last, and we were really starting to move into the digital space, but we were still some hesitation. You know, the bubble had just burst, and there was some concern about really where was it going. The day's meetings, the focus of the day, everybody's attention and urgency was focused in on what are we doing on page one the next morning. And now we talk about page one, but we're talking about our traffic. We're talking about social media platforms. We're talking about the different channels in which our readers are engaging our content and consuming us. And it's our job to find those readers so that they don't have to find us, still deliver a very high quality print edition, which isn't going away anytime soon, and be able to think about things in ways in which we never did. So for example, you know, I've got an Emmy award winning staff. You know, my photographers, my multimedia specialists, they've produced 6 Emmys, regional Emmys. Now that's something that we would have never thought of when I left here in 2004. But their skills have evolved, the things that they have learned, the techniques, the technology. We're producing incredible documentaries and short videos that resonate with audiences that are really making a difference. And you and I have both been at this for a long time, Mark. That's why we got in this business. It's not the big page one headlines or the big radio audience. It's not bylines. It's how can we be a catalyst for positive change? The Inquirer has been doing that for more than 170 years. And I feel good about the things we've accomplished, but I'm even more excited about the future, where we're going, what we're going to do.
You know, one of the changes I read about, Rick, was the change from having editors, that term editors, overseeing the reporters and their work, to having what is known as strategists involved in that. Now, what does that title change mean for the way that the newspaper is covering local stories?
So I'll repeat something I mentioned a second ago, that content is king. But the conversations about that content, it used to be strictly, let's find a story, let's chase a story, let's draft the story, let's write the story, let's print the story. Now there's much more strategic conversations about, well, let's look at analytics. We know so much about what our readers are looking at and how long they're with us, and headline changes that make a difference, video, multimedia aspects of storytelling that are changing the conversations. Everything still comes down to high quality content. I've said that. I've trumpeted that since I walked in the door at 312 Elm 3 weeks ago. I believe that our future is based around sophisticated, essential content that can't be ignored, and it has to be essential. How we now distribute that requires a different level of thinking. We have to be much more strategic about our audience and the means in which we can tell those stories and share it.
Yeah, you're talking about content. The beats are also being redefined, and you know, you still have the traditional things. You have local government, you have education, you have transportation, politics, but there are all kinds of new beats that are being added in that cover things like local celebrities and trends. Now, is this part of reaching out to a younger audience?
I think that's part of it. I also think that we have a better knowledge of the stories that resonate with our readers. And as a former reporter and editor, and I'll always be a journalist at my core, you always have got your gut instincts, the things that you think you know will resonate with certain readers. Well, we can marry and fuse that great gut instinct that you've got as a heart-bitten news guy. I know you appreciate that.
I don't know about the heart-bitten part. But...
with unbelievable knowledge of analytics, we know everything about our readers and on stories that are resonating. So to me, I don't think that analytics is the sole determining factor. You know, we have to make sure we are covering the institutions and holding governments and bureaucrats accountable for taxpayer dollars. We have to do important stories of iconic places and iconic teams and events, opening day, all those great things. But it doesn't necessarily mean that analytics is right. I'll give you an example because I had a hunch we might talk about this today. I was working with my guys earlier this morning, and we were talking about last week's stories that appeared on Cincinnati.com. And I said, I want to know the top stories from the week. And tell me, what was it that really resonated with our readers? What stories, what content? The top story, obviously, was a tragic story of our firefighter who died so tragically in Madisonville. The fourth story was our editorial that was related to that. The last story, the top five, was about the mother who was accused of trading her 11-year-old daughter, that incredibly heartbreaking story, for heroin. The number two story that was the most viewed and the most engaged story that we produced was Ashley Judd's apology to UC's Octavius Ellis on Twitter. Now, we produced that story. We reported that story. Is that arguably the second most important story in front of Greater Cincinnati last week? Well, maybe if you're a UK fan or a UC fan, it resonated with you, but I would argue that we've got a very sophisticated audience. We have a very vibrant, we talked about it a second ago, the changes that are unfolding so quickly here, we have to make sure we're covering the right places at the right time in the right ways. We'll cover Ashley Judd just in a small blip, but we darn well better be at Cincinnati City Hall. We better pay attention to the airport board across the river. We need to do a better job of knowing and covering and really being able to get our arms around the fast changes that are unfolding in places like Westchester, Deerfield, and other places. So there's areas of progress. Analytics is a tool. It's a very helpful tool in shaping our coverage and the kinds of beats that we pursue, but it's not the only deciding factor.
You know, how great a challenge do you see in reaching that, say, an 18 to 25-year-old generation that has no habit of reading a paper in the first place?
Boy, I tell you, that millennial audience, yeah, and a little bit the Gen X, I mean, that's the sweet spot for not just every media person, but every marketer of any big company or nonprofit or radio station or whatever it might be. Again, I think that you have to make sure that you're engaged, and we have worked very hard to get a better sense of their likes, dislikes, the ways in which they engage with us, the things that resonate with them in their lives. I will tell you, I don't think that we know as much about our customers as we need to. That's one of my challenges as we move forward. I'm a big fan of A.G. Laffley. I've read his books. I interviewed him when I was here before as the business editor. I have the greatest respect for A.G. Laffley. A.G. Laffley knows that you have to adapt or die. You have to know your consumer. He knows customer as boss, and I've taken that play right out of his playbook, and I've shared that with my executive team. We have to better understand the nuances, the sophistication, the likes, dislike of all audiences. Those who consume us in print, those who are baby boomers, those who are 20-something coming out of college and looking to establish roots. And that experience is going to be in something like the smartphone that I have here, or their tablet, or it's going to be in the paper that they still get. There's some new research that comes out of Pew that's shown that there are millennials who really intersect with information through ink on paper, and that's great. But at the bottom line, Mark, if we don't have meaningful content, I don't care how you distribute it, if it's on a smartphone, a tablet, a desktop at work, or a 5:30 clank on your front porch, It's irrelevant. It has to be high quality content. And I guess if that's the message that I've come into Cincinnati to share with my staff, in addition to the understanding of the analytics and the audiences, it's really got to be, how do we elevate the quality and the caliber of the stories that we tell? How do we develop strategic alliances to help elevate that? How do we say, we've been an important part of your life, Cincinnati, for more than 170 years. We have to change because you've changed, because the technology has changed. And I promise you we will.
We'll continue our conversation with Inquirer President and Publisher Rick Green. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon is Rick Green, president and publisher of the Cincinnati Enquirer. As we talk about how the local newspaper is evolving to compete in today's 24/7 digital news environment, you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rick, Debbie sent us a question by Facebook. And here's what she says. She says she's a 50-year subscriber to The Enquirer, and she understands breaking news being published first on the Internet. But she says, I don't understand why I've already read so many lengthy articles, features, and investigative reports before my paper arrives on my doorstep. Shouldn't I at least get some things first in exchange for my monetary support? It's a customer talking.
Well, Debbie, thanks very much for subscribing, first of all. I really appreciate your loyalty. 50 years is a heck of a long time. And I will tell you that we've changed an awful lot in those 50 years, and we'll continue to change a lot. Here's probably the best way that I think about addressing that question, Mark, and it's a good question, is that my competitors in town are not the Cincinnati Business Courier, who I respect. I have great respect for Rob and the whole team over there, or WCPO and their digital outlet with Chris Graves and the whole team, and or KRC, or even WLW. Those are not the competitors that I'm looking at. My biggest competitor is the time of our readers. I've got a sister-in-law who is in Mason. Her name's Sarah. Sarah has three kids. They're all just in junior high and below elementary school. One of them is a special needs child, my godson, actually. Her husband is a scientist at Procter & Gamble. Sarah leads an incredibly busy life. Sarah is a loyal subscriber, both of The Enquirer and everything we do digitally, as well as WVXU, I should tell you. A big call out for you guys there. And my job is to make sure that we are finding Sarah wherever she may be. It starts in the morning with the daily newspaper, but then the news, the information, that content machine that we crank up changes and evolves throughout the entire day. So I want to be in front of Sarah whenever she's at home checking her smartphone as she has lunch. I want to be there at night when she's put the kids to bed and she's got a tablet. She's looking at Facebook and she's watching TV or talking to her husband. The busy things that are going on in life, I have to be there. Sarah doesn't have to find me. She represents a whole lot of readers for me. I'm a very competitive guy, and I will go toe-to-toe with anybody in town with my newsroom. I feel that powerful and that passionate about the team we've established and the team that we're building. But my job is to find those readers and be able to intersect our great content with their busy lives and make them care. Sometimes they're going to care about Ashley Judd. That might be the case some weeks, but they're also going to care about other important stories like the investigative piece we had yesterday, looking very closely at the economic development policies and how decisions are being made by bureaucrats and city leaders, sometimes without any kind of public scrutiny and often even without the knowledge of Cincinnati City Council members. That's the kind of story that we need to do more often.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Day in Hyde Park. Good afternoon, Day. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Good afternoon. And Mr. Green, I saw that you came into town, and I was anxious to see. I love The Enquirer. It's a paper I can't do without. I happen to read the paper from beginning to end. But the one thing that we have lost is our writer that does the entertainment section for Cincinnati as far as our different channels. People are coming and going on, you know, the different TV channels, and I'm wondering, well, where did they go? And the new ones that came in, where did they come from? You know, I kind of like them because I invite them into my home, and I'd like to know more about them.
So you miss John Keese Wetter.
Yes, John, it's Keese.
Yes, I do.
I will tell you, I miss Keese too. I won't lie to you. I was, there were many faces that, who were mentors to me, or we were in the trenches together when I was a reporter and editor here, you know. John is one of them, Mark Kernute, John Arrarty, Sheila McLaughlin, you know, a few other folks, who, you know, made a decision that they wanted to, you know, take the next step and a different step in their career. It happened before I got here, so I can't speak to the ins and outs of it. It's the balancing act. I will tell you, it's a balancing act. I appreciate you reading us. I appreciate the fact that you know your paper incredibly well. I need to get you on an advisory board with me so we can talk about ways in which we can improve it. And if you're interested in that, let me share offline here my phone number so that you can give me a call. We could talk about that, but we're always looking for ways in which we can improve. And, you know, in some cases there might be needs for us to resurrect some of the features we once had and or some of the other personalities we had. So I appreciate that insight and that good constructive criticism.
Rick, the paper has lost some veteran reporters and veteran writers. How is it going about replacing those years of experience?
Yeah, you know, it's I think that every company and every industry has to wrestle with this. You know, I mentioned Lafley over at Procter & Gamble. You know, look at the thing that's going on over there. I feel really good about the process. I feel very good about some of the talent that I've seen in the pipeline in the short time that I've been here. Just hired a new writer for the Bengals. I feel really good about that coming from Green Bay. We had a story in yesterday's paper about four new hires that we've made. And I feel that, we're in transition. I mean, I won't pull any punches about that. I feel very optimistic about the expectations we have of this new newsroom and of the candidates that are coming to us. They want to be here. They recognize the power and the prominence and, most important thing to me, the potential of the Inquirer. And to me, it's more than a content play, Mark. I know that if I'm able to have a highly engaged audience on every platform, in print, on social media, digital tablets, digital space in general, as well as some of the influencers that are in town, you know, some of the folks we just talked to on the phone here. If I have that, I want to be able to deliver that audience to an advertiser that covets to be in front of those eyeballs that have that relationship with the content that allows me to funnel it back into the newsroom. It's not a complicated formula, but it's one that I feel very, very passionate about and starts with content.
Let's talk with Hewitt in Lebanon. Good afternoon, Hewitt. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
I reside in Lebanon, have for many, many years. I used to subscribe to the Times Star, so that dates me. The Inquirer is a great paper, but we have two papers to choose in Lebanon. We have the Dayton Daily News and the Inquirer, and I go to the Dayton Daily News now for fuller coverage of our little village of Lebanon, Ohio, and I was wondering what the expectations of the Inquirer will be.
Well, here's what I can tell you. First off, it's ironic that you're calling me because I was up in Lebanon on Saturday. The Golden Lamb is like my all-time favorite restaurant in Cincinnati area. So went back up and walked around downtown with my daughter, who's a freshman at Xavier. We can't be all things to all people. And fortunately, that's kind of the realities of it. I looked very closely, and I was the bureau chief in Butler and Warren counties. And so I know the competition that we had with Cox, Ohio, with the Dayton Daily News and all the different properties that it has. And it's a very respected competitor. I want you to give us another try. If we could get your number offline, I've got a special new publisher in town subscription deal that I can offer you just for you to get a closer look at the things that we're now doing and the things that we're trying to become. You can't ignore fast-growing places like Warren County, Lebanon in particular, the county seat on the prominence. You know, like I said, I was just there on Saturday, and there's clearly some great stories that I have a hunch we're probably missing. We're doing our very best and knowing that we'll be better in the future than we are today. So, Hewitt, if you wouldn't mind, and you could stay online and give us your number, I'll call you back.
Unfortunately, I don't have him online.
Oh, really? Okay.
On the line
well,
with
more,
Rick, so our good. Apologies there.
That's okay.
What do you think the newspaper industry as a whole is starting to turn things around and get caught up with all this new technology?
Boy, you know what? I not fast enough. If I have any criticism about the whole industry overall, and I've been part of it since I was 15 back in East Central Ohio, I think only now are we recognizing the urgency in which we have to act. I use the word velocity. Velocity is a great word to be able to talk about. We have to just catapult ourselves in a new way and new urgency and new sophistication and do things differently. I think looking back over the past, you know, 10 to 12 years or so, I feel good about the changes that we are making now. I think we were probably a little slow to the punch, and we being the collective newspaper industry. I think the dot-com bubble, when it burst, I think it gave false confidence to newspaper publishers that, you know what, we told you it was a fad. Now let's continue to take your classified advertising. Let's do this kind of storytelling or whatever it might be. I like a good fight. I told you I'm a feisty. I like competition. And I've been doing this for a long time. There are lots of people in my operation, and there are listeners and readers of the Inquirer that have loved the newspaper for as long as they can remember. I'm here to win. I mean, I'll be real frank. I came here because this is a winning organization with a team that's hungry for even greater success than what we've had and experienced before. We'll recognize and we will be hold true to the standards that have defined us in terms of high quality investigative work and ethical standards, the things that we should use as pillars. but I don't manage in a rearview mirror. I appreciate the past, but we got to go forward. And that means that we've got to be nimble. We've got to be more bold. We have to know our audience in new ways. We've got to engage with them. We have to be able to tell the stories that are going to resonate and do it in a way that is different than ever before. I believe, even though some might be critical of newspapers and talk about their demise, I believe that we're in the golden age of storytelling. Never before has someone who loves the work of telling stories on any platform, by any device, by any means, have had a chance to have such a great impact on such a wide audience, digitally, social media, as well as ink on paper. It's never been harder, but it's never been more lucrative in many ways to be a great storyteller. We're going to capitalize on that. This is a town that loves great journalism. There are advertisers that want to be aligned with those people who love that journalism. We're going to do that.
So are you optimistic about the Inquirer's future? Is it going to survive all the changes that are going on?
Story's not going to be if we're going to survive. The story's going to be how did the Inquirer survive? And here are all the great reasons behind it. I promise you that.
Rick, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Mark, it was great seeing you. Thanks for your time, and I really appreciate the listener's attention.
Cincinnati Inquirer President and publisher Rick Green. Coming up, the crucial role of the guidance counselor in today's schools. And in Focus on Technology, genetic testing. How reliable are the tests? How safe is the surgery they recommend? This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.